This Tuesday is primary election day here in New Jersey. After thinking that the state would play a role in the presidential primary for the first time in many years, many now feel that the need to be an active voter may not really need it. If that's you, you could not be more wrong. Sure, the GOP and, well, for the most part, Democratic presidential races are a done deal, but there are many congressional local races where your duty to vote is called for. And as in any election, certain issues rise to the top of concerns. One of those, illegal immigration, its impact, and how to address it. Here to give his analysis of where the New Jersey congressional candidates stand on this issue is the Director of Content and Activism for Numbers USA, Chris Chmielewski. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And it's numbersusa.com to learn more about the candidates. If you're in New Jersey, anywhere in the country, if you're listening on the stream, the Numbers USA website has ratings for the congressional incumbents as well as the challengers for your respective election season as we go into November as well. And as far as the rating system that you have posted at numbersusa.com, Chris, was it through questionnaires, study of votes, or a combination of the two in some way?
Combination of the two in some way. If the candidate is an incumbent, we primarily look at the votes that they took in Congress and rate them that way. There are a couple of incumbents that have completed our survey, and that answers the second part. We then have an immigration survey that we send out to all the candidates. Some incumbents fill it out, but for the most part, it's challengers, and it's a pretty simple 12-question survey. We've had a pretty good response from the survey. If candidates don't send in the survey, then what we do is we just look for statements that they've made in debates or in the media or the press or on their website to try to rate them that way.
And since the New Jersey delegation is predominantly Democratic, it's pretty safe to say that there aren't many stellar performers in this pack, is there?
Not from our perspective. That's right. And even a lot of the Republicans tend to be more of more establishment type Republicans who will be tend to vote the way that that Numbers USA tends to support. They'll vote our way in many of the cases. But on things like free trade, which we took a position on the Trans-Pacific Partnership, not on the free trade deal itself, but on some of the immigration provisions that are part of the Trans-Pacific or how the TPP would impact immigration. And then obviously some of the funding bills that have been passed, like if you look at the December 2016 omnibus spending bill that funded the government for most of the fiscal year 2016, a lot of President Obama's immigration priorities were in there, which included the funding of his executive amnesties, the allowance of its catch and release program, which is when Border Patrol comes in contact with illegal aliens, they allow them, they just release them into the public, full funding of sanctuary cities, things like that.
As far as the Numbers USA ratings, among the stellar is in the 5th District, incumbent Scott Garrett gets a B+. And in the 7th District, the incumbent Leonard Lance also with a B+. Again, if you're thinking Democrats low grade, Republicans high grade, not always the case. If you look at the New Jersey 11th District, the incumbent Rodney Frelinghuysen scores an F. And you have, at least in the New Jersey delegation, you have the tag of true reformer for a GOP challenger, Rick Van Glan, who pretty much right down the line goes in line with everything that Numbers USA believes in.
Right. He's a candidate that filled out our survey and sent it in. So he stacks up pretty well against Congressman Frelinghuysen. Frelinghuysen has been pretty good in the past. The things that have really knocked him down in the recent Congress has been his support for the Trans-Pacific Partnership, as well as, again, he voted on pretty much every occasion, every opportunity that he had over the last 2 years to support. He didn't intentionally vote to fund President Obama's executive amnesties, but they were part of larger spending bills, but his vote did fund those bills. So we graded him down for that, and that's what impacts him the most. But something that we've seen through this entire election cycle, we're a little bit more than halfway through on the congressional side, even though the presidential side is wrapped up. On the congressional side, we're a little more than halfway. Really, no incumbents have lost yet. So nobody has really put up a strong challenge anywhere in the country.
Oh, and Chris Chmielewski, who is the Director of Content Activism for Numbers USA, numbersusa.com on the web. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas Regarding the presidential race, Chris, how much more has the Donald Trump campaign made immigration a higher, more important issue with the voters this time around?
It's definitely helped in terms of raising the profile of immigration. Immigration is almost always, you know, I go back to 2012. 2008, it wasn't as big of an issue because you had the economic issues that were going on in 2008, and immigration ties into that. But the recession overwhelmingly impacted that race. In 2012, it did play into the race. That was, you know, Mitt Romney was talking about his quote-unquote self-deportation, and a lot of people thought that that phrase had hurt him. So it usually does play into presidential politics as well as some of these congressional elections across the nation. But certainly the fact that Donald Trump pretty much led with immigration when he announced his candidacy last summer and has maintained that, the immigration has been a key part of his platform. And he's talked about it at all of the political rallies that he's done throughout the country over the last year. There was a recent poll that came out, I believe it was from Rasmussen earlier this week, that said the top concern still amongst American voters, this number two concern amongst American voters after the economy, is immigration. So especially on the Republican side of the aisle, Republican voters tend to rank immigration much, much higher than Democratic voters do. But it would have been a main issue regardless, because you have Marco Rubio in the race, who was one of the key members of the Gang of Eight from the bill back in 2013. But obviously Donald Trump made it a bigger spectacle, made it a bigger issue, bigger talking point, and has kept it in the forefront now that he's the presumptive nominee.
Now, on a related note, has the lack of or the resistance to the E-Verify program received its proper attention? For example, for New Jersey, you have Senator Robert Menendez, who has been one of the lead opponents of E-Verify. When you look at the jobs numbers for this past month for May, totally anemic, 38,000 new jobs created, 500,000 Americans leaving the workforce. And yet you have businesses who are, by all accounts, breaking the law by hiring illegal aliens.
Right. And Pew Hispanic Research does a pretty good job of this. They report on it every few years. They do a profile of the illegal alien population in the United States. And they've determined that there are about 7 to 8 million illegal aliens working non-agricultural jobs in the United States. So we're not talking farm jobs. We're talking about construction, service, working in hotels. And there's lots of computer programmers that have overstayed their H-1B visas, for instance, that are working high-tech jobs in the United States. So it definitely has an impact. E-Verify is something that we support. We actually made a major push about E-Verify over the Memorial Day weekend. So it's our top priority when it comes to immigration enforcement. You look at somebody like Donald Trump, who has put so much focus on the southern border, and most Republicans and Democrats, for that matter, talk about securing the southern border. But for us, the southern border can be as secure as you want it to be. People are still going to come, and they're going to find a way into the country if you allow them to work. So the best thing that you can do is to eliminate that jobs magnet, and E-Verify would do that.
And we saw that back in 2008 when the economy crashed, and believe it or not, that was a great deal of self-deportation back then, because there weren't any jobs. And you just look at how less crowded Western Union locations were, because fewer people were piping money back to their home countries because they weren't working.
Right. And the Wall Street Journal had an article earlier this year. There's about 21 states that have passed state level legislation regarding E-Verify. It ranges from Arizona and South Carolina, for instance, that require every employer in the state to use E-Verify, or they could have their business license revoked, to, there's state like Virginia, for instance, where we happen to be located. Virginia just requires its state agencies and contractors to use E-Verify. So there are laws of varying degree across the country, but the Wall Street Journal specifically focused on Arizona and what has happened since their law took full effect. And they've seen that wages and jobs have prospects for American workers has actually increased. You've seen a lot of businesses that have had to adjust. They've had to become more mechanized, or they've had to rely more on robots and computers and things like that to do certain things, especially farmers. But they found what that does is it creates some higher level jobs because you need people to come in and to operate the machinery that's going to pick vegetables, for instance, or assemble products. So we've seen on that small scale in Arizona that it can have a positive effect by mandating E-Verify.
And unfortunately, New Jersey is one of those states that has no state E-Verify. So mention that to your candidate as you go through this election process. Learn more about this issue, overall issue of immigration. Website is numbersusa.com. We'll be joined by the Director of Content and Activism, Chris Chmielewski. Chris, thanks for being here this morning.
Thanks for having me.